First Epistle of Blessed Paul to the Corinthians. Here, brethren, is an account of the gospel I preached to you. It was this that was handed on to you. Upon this your faith rests. Through this, if you keep in mind the tenor of its preaching, you are in the way of salvation, unless indeed your belief was ill-founded. The chief message I handed on to you, as it was handed on to me, was that Christ, as the scriptures had foretold, died for our sins, that he was buried, and then, as the scriptures had foretold, rose again on the third day, that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 11 apostles, and afterwards by more than 500 of the brethren at once, most of whom are alive at this day, though some have gone to their rest. Then he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, I too saw him, like the last child that comes to birth unexpectedly. Of all the apostles, I am the least. Nay, I am not fit to be called an apostle, since there was a time when I persecuted the church of God. Only by God's grace I am what I am, and the grace he has shown me has not been without fruit. I've worked harder than all of them, or rather, it was not I, but the grace of God working with me. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Then Jesus set out again from the region of Tyre and came by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, right into the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and dumb, with the prayer that he would lay his hand upon him. And he took him aside out of the multitude. He put his fingers into the man's ears and spat and touched his tongue. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and sighed. "Ephphatha," he said, that is, "be opened." Whereupon the man's ears were opened, and the bond which tied his tongue was loosed, and he talked plainly. And Jesus laid a strict charge on them not to speak of it to anyone. But the more he charged them, the more widely they published it, and were more than ever astonished. "He has done well," they said, "in all his doings. He has made the deaf hear and the dumb speak." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. For us in modern times, the Corinthians can be a good example in the sense that the Corinthians lived in what could be called the Las Vegas of their day. They lived in a very sinful city, a city that was surrounded them with sin and debauchery and paganism and all that went with it. And the Corinthians would endeavor to stay faithful through it all, even though they're a small minority and often ill-treated, because they would not go to the festivals. They would not practice what everybody else was doing. They wouldn't work to build community. And as a result, they were often rejected. But this did not detract them from the faith, at least overall. Now, obviously, they had to face the Judaizers who were teaching the wrong thing. They're always false prophets who come after the true apostles and endeavor to spread error because of their own pride. But in this case, something was happening to the Corinthians based on the reality of, even though they strived to keep the faith, there were challenges to it, and if they were not cooperating with grace, they would ultimately start thinking too much and ultimately doubting too much. Paul is writing in this first letter a reiteration of what he taught. So apparently the faith of the Corinthians had been shaken by something. And it would appear that the influence of the Greeks would have them thinking, as the Athenians did when St. Paul endeavored to teach them. They dismissed the resurrection as childish. And so apparently at this point the Corinthians were beginning to be influenced by worldly thinking, and they're beginning to question the resurrection, as we see many Christians doing today, referring to the myth of the resurrection as something that built up the hope of the people, but our Lord never did resurrect, they would say. And there are many who act as though they do not believe it, especially Christians when they're facing death, acting like pagans who have no hope, only lamenting a life lost, never contemplating the one who is the conqueror of sin and therefore the conqueror of death, who who destroyed death himself by virtue of allowing it to overcome him. And so we must be wise then in ourselves. We must be opened with regards to our ears. In other words, being careful of what we are hearing, be careful of what we are listening to, and even being careful of what we are pondering. Again, too many modern Catholics lack docility. They believe they can teach themselves, and therefore they're not docile to the Church and what she has always taught. And that lack of docility manifests itself in, number one, Catholics never studying the faith once they got out of eighth grade or out of high school and the religion classes were over. They never again opened a religion book or book of the saints. They never again contemplated the things of God. And then they go through life with an eighth grade religious education, believing that that is sufficient to deal with all the difficulties of life. And therefore, they lack docility. And instead of acknowledging they don't necessarily know, they make things up, or they want to be right, or they want to sound like they know. So the lack of docility is dangerous. Be opened, our Lord would say, to the reality of the teachings of the faith. It is true that most of the works of our Lord with regards to this great miracle were done because the man was deaf and dumb. He did, after all, take him apart from the multitude and work the miracle, indicating indeed the great power he had, but also he needed to demonstrate to this man who was deaf what he was doing. He could obviously not explain it to him. And our Lord would then tell him, with speaking the Word made flesh himself, he says the Word that is preserved by all of the Synoptic Gospels from the original Aramaic, Ephphatha, be opened. And so that same Word would be spoken to us, and our Lord desired, by virtue of the work of the Holy Spirit, for this Gospel to be translated to us who were not there, and even to the apostles, who some may have been there and some not, and all those who witnessed it. There's a reason that our Lord says to be opened. And there's a reason the reality of he did what he did to demonstrate what the Church would be doing. And if his is indeed, as he says to the Pharisees, where they doubt in the finger of God, and it is by the finger of God that he casts out demons, it is by the finger of God, for he is God, that he is able to end the deafness of this man and to end his inability to speak. When he says it, it is so. And so therefore, we who hear these words today should recognize that what he is telling us, that the Church functions in the same way, that the Church teaches the truth as she always has taught it in all times, in all places, in all situations. Her traditional teaching stands firm. And even if those within the Church are shaky, we should be open to the Christ and the Christ alone. Even if those in the Church would put forth doubts, which is the most popular route of clerics today, to promulgate doubt from the pulpit, which indeed causes the faithful to doubt and creates the crisis that Paul had to address for the Corinthians, you and I should be opened to Christ and Christ alone. That is why I cannot stress enough that you must be familiar with the Gospels. You must know the words of Christ himself. You must know them well enough that you can apply them in any given situation, so that you don't doubt, you don't fear. But if you maintain an eighth grade understanding of your faith and never pursue deeper truths and deeper knowledge, even the reality of the Gospels themselves, then you will always be at a loss. You will always be frustrated. You will always be fearful. You will always be dubious. You always find yourself wandering down different streets trying to find some illusion of truth in the face of truth himself. That's why it's an imperative to be open to what the Church actually teaches, to be opened to the words that Christ actually said, not the words you wish he had said or hoped he had said, or pretend in your mind that the pot-smoking hippie Jesus is there to make sure you're happy and content. All that needs to be put away for the true Christ. You must know his words. How much time did you spend reading anything this week? If you have read anything at all, it should be something of the faith, and it should be in particular the Gospels themselves. And if you don't spend time in reading, then perhaps it's time you start learning to do that, to be more disciplined, or even, if necessary, you can even find Catholic Bibles on audio, so you can listen to them in your vehicle, wherever you're on your way someplace. The point is, be open to what Christ is saying. Be open to the words of Christ. There's too much doubt. There's too much fear. And when we become doubtful, then you as laymen in particular, and it certainly can be seen amongst we clerics as well, we become like the man who is dumb. Because we're not open to what Christ is actually teaching and saying, then we don't know what to say. And our tongues are tied, as it were. That's why so many priests are preaching doubt from the pulpit, because they haven't opened a theology book since they were in seminary. And that's why so many of the laity are so quiet in the face of opposition, in the face of doubt, because they have so closed their ears to the words of Christ. They don't even know his words. They don't know what he would say or what he would do. And as a result, they are tongue-tied when they should be the last ones to be tongue-tied, as they're called to give witness to Christ in the world and to speak his words in the world where we, as priests, are not present and in some cases even cannot go, especially now the culture is more closed to us than it has ever been before. So be mindful of the great miracle of today. Be mindful that when you receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity, you are having an impersonal encounter with him on the sacramental level that goes deeper than what this man had in the great miracle. And that he is closer to your soul than your soul is to itself when you receive him, body, blood, soul, divinity, properly disposed. So consider what he will be saying to you and the word he will whisper, ephphatha, which means be opened. Be disposed to the Christ from here on out, and indeed, you will no longer be tongue-tied in anything, either internally or externally. And you too will speak of all the marvelous deeds the Christ has done, drawing all men to him, not to yourself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.